Follow along, we're going to go to Hebrews, first chapter. And the author of this letter is the Apostle Paul. They say that they're not sure if it was several that wrote this, some of it together or what, but Paul is the author. Just the way it's written and everything. We also, the analysis of this this book, of course we know it's to the Jews, but the key word would be better. It is better. Everything in here has something that is better. Starting the first verse, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. I'll stop there for a minute. God, who at sundry times, the word sundry has the meaning of several or various times. And of course, divers, we all know what that means. That means different. So if you was to read it the way it's described in its meanings of these words, it would be like this. God, who at various times and in different manners spoke in times past unto the fathers by the prophets. And we know this because we go back and read the minor prophets and go back from Genesis on, and we know that God had fellowship with many people that he chose to speak to, and also that he chose as the prophets in that time period. In that frame, God's word was framed by the Holy Spirit unto these prophets to bring out. And also we know that, of course, we know God's word was framed by Jesus Christ. Said by the prophets, and I just mentioned this in Hebrews 11. You want to go in there and find out all these different ones that had tremendous faith in the Word and in God. There's a whole bunch of them in there. There's more than that, really, throughout the Bible. Different ones. The prophets spoke in times needed. And they were chosen by God to bring out what he wanted brought out at these different times. Okay? Verse 2 says this. This hath, where am I? Verse 2. Okay. Hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. So we see a change here. He states Christ's glory and work here. He also speaks of the prophets, the voice of the prophets, and different times and at different chosen ones. The change here is, he says, and hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the Word, made flesh, and we know that Jesus was here 33 years on the earth, something like that. And everybody that knew Jesus as a young boy or a young lad, they were astonished that all he knew in the scripture. And it was because the Father sent him down to be the Word for us. And Jesus' words, so many in here, speak to our hearts. He said, hath these in the last days spoken to us by his Son, the fullness of time. Let's go to Daniel. And Daniel 9. Daniel 9th chapter. I think Earlene's going to get to this one day again. In the 924 of Daniel. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city, to finish the transgression and to make an end of sins, and to make reconciliation for iniquity, and to bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Who's the most holy? Christ. Fulfilled in Christ. So we notice these things in this verse 24. We go down the list. First one says, to finish the transgression, or, my Martin says, or to restrain the transgression. One, to stop the transgression that people were making at this time, and that the evil that was in the world around them, and how they spake and how they lived. And it says, and to make an end of sins. Now, we know this has been a long time ago, and we still have a lot of sin. But there's been many come along that have asked forgiveness for their sins through our Lord Jesus Christ. And it is, it's important. We're talking, Erlene was talking about the meeting this morning, how so many are not in the meetings anymore. They've dropped off. And people don't want to hear the word of God today. And I suppose through the times, through the years, they've always been that way. It's sad to me that you have an opportunity. Christ died on the cross for our sins. Why would you continue to transgress against our Lord, against our God, so you could sin? It don't make sense to me. But the only way is you have to accept Jesus Christ, your Savior. We all know that. And I will say this. To make an end to the sins, we need to get out and talk to everyone that we can. People we see. If you're bold enough, the Lord will allow you. He'll make it very possible for you to talk to whoever. And you know what? He'll bring remembrance to what you need to say from the Word of God to them. You can't run at them full force and tell them all kinds of things in the Word, because you got to realize they're not even born yet, born again. They have to accept Jesus Christ, or not at all. The next one says, and to make reconciliation for iniquity. Who does that? Our Lord Jesus Christ. And to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up the vision and the prophecy, because this was prophesied way back early about Christ, all the way from Genesis, all the way through the Bible, says to anoint the most holy. As our Lord Jesus Christ. God had a plan. He knew what he was doing. And it's just something we need to know. And I'm telling you, you can read on through all these different books. And it's just amazing to me that you can read the book, the Bible. You can study Scripture. You ask the Lord to give you what he wants to give you this day. What wisdom are you asking for? You want the wisdom of the Word. What is the Word saying? The Holy Spirit. You ask the Holy Spirit be allowed to show you. It's important. Romans 10. I'm going to read verses 3 and 4. Says here in Romans, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. We can say that about the world today, right? We can even say it about Christendom, and we can even say it about some believers. Verse 3, for they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law, for righteousness to everyone that believeth. We know that Christ came and that was the end of the law, we know. The end of the law was done away with on Calvary for they being ignorant of God's righteousness. And people are ignorant of God's righteousness today. Christ is our righteousness. And we see that God appointed Christ heir of all things, by whom he also made the world. I want to go back to Hebrews. Hebrews 11. I should have read this earlier, but I'm going to read it now. Keep in mind, Christ our righteousness. We see God appointed Christ heir of all things, by whom he also made the world. We're going to read Hebrews 11, 1 through 3. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Verse 3, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. And it goes on to talk about these heroes of faith, they call them. There's so many in here. And it's good to look at this. But faith is the substance, right? You got to have faith. It says there, through faith, we understand that the worlds are framed by the word of God. And we are also framed by the word of God. If we accept our Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, and want to honor and reverence to our Father in heaven, that's what you need. You need to get into the Word every day. You need to talk to the Father every day. You need to talk to our Lord Jesus Christ every day. And you need to ask for the Holy Spirit to give you wisdom. That's what I've been asking for. To show me his word. Right. We go back to our chapter. We'll read verse 3 of chapter 1, Hebrews. It says here, go back a little bit. Hath in the last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. So we just read about that. Who being the brightness of glory, is original, they put his in there, brightness of his glory or glory, and the express image of his person, and upholding things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of majesty on high. It says over here, Christ's glory. Christ's divine glory. Father's glory. They are one. Father and the Son. The enrichment that they have. Exalted above all. No one is above God. And Jesus Christ, only the Father, does Jesus serve. Going to the wrong John here. Okay, John, in John 1, 14, sang a song this morning, Emmanuel, God with us. It says in verse 10, he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. Jesus came to his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, to them that believe on his name. Verse 13, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. God has provided everything we need. So we see in 14, he says, again, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. Well, the two natures of flesh, very stubborn. It's hard to, you just really have to give your everything to the Lord, turn everything over to Jesus, everything over to our Father, because the old man, and if that life of Christ is in us, as it should be, I know it's here, everybody, then the old man died with Christ on the cross, and we were raised with Jesus on that day, on the third day. So we no longer have to serve the old flesh, the old nature. But it's still there every day. I can guarantee you that. John 17:5 says this about Jesus. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. Think about that. Now we know in this chapter is about Jesus getting ready to go. And he says the Father. Think about how much he missed being with his Father. Think about all the suffering that he did, all the time he was here. A lot of people loved Jesus. They followed Jesus. They heard his word. He heard the word, but a lot of people, they hated him. The Jews hated him. And I don't know why that was. It's just, it was planned out by God. But God really wanted his people. He hadn't forgot them. They're going to turn to him. They're going to turn to God. You read of all that in Zechariah, that they're going to turn to him, and they're going to cry out to God. Oh, boy. Back in our chapter, the brightness of his glory, Christ's divine glory with the Father, the express image of his person is the next part of this, verse 3. The express image of his person, the word express has the meaning of precise, exact, explicit. The express image of his person, perfect. Nothing wrong with it, it was made perfect. Jesus Christ, our Lord, full of glory, an express image of his person. The exact, explicit image of God. And then we go on down to this next part. It says, and upholding all things by the word of his power. Okay. Upholding all things. I got one verse for that. I could put a lot more in here, but I got one I want to read. And it's in Isaiah 41. Brought my whole Bible today because I thought it'd be easier for me to find these. Isaiah 41, verse 10. Fear not, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. God will uphold you. He has upheld us and still does, and so does our Lord Jesus Christ. You just have to go to them. You have to go to the Lord in prayer. You have to seek him. And it also says in that third verse of our chapter, it says, and upholding things by the word of his power. We're going to go to Matthew on this one. Matthew 28:18. It simply says here, Jesus says, and Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. What does he say in the next verse? Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Jesus has power. And why? Because of the power of his word. He is the word made flesh. And then we'll go back to our chapter again. The next one says, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Christ exalted here. When he had purged him, had by himself purged our sins, cleansed our sins, he sat down on the right hand of God on high. Christ exalted. And Erlene just read this not too long ago, Ephesians. Ephesians. Let's see. Ephesians 1. And I want to read 19 and 20. Actually, I'd like to read a whole bunch more. It says here, according in verse 4, it says, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. What? To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, for the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded towards us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on the earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ, in whom you also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, whom also after that ye believed, he was sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. And I want to drop down to you. This is what I asked for when I was studying. This is what I asked for this morning also. It says, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, Paul, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. 19 and 20. What is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places. It says, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. Hath put all things under his feet, gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is the body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Christ is our head, church being the body. We all know that. Now we want to go to, I only got a little bit more here. I wanted to jump over to Hebrews 2nd chapter in the 3rd verse. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by them that heard him? God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his own will. How shall we escape if we neglect this great salvation? The answer is, we cannot. Cannot escape it. You want to receive it. Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12, and we're reading It says above this, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling, that speaketh better things than that of Abel. See that you refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth, but now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but the heaven. So the whole thing here is that we don't want to refuse what's in front of us and what the Lord has given us. I want to go to 2 Peter. 2 Peter 2. 2 Peter 2 in verse 13. And then we're going to drop down. Help if I got in the right chapter. And shall, let's see, we'll start up a little bit. Whereas angels, which are greater in power and might, but not railing accusation against them before the Lord, but these as natural brute beasts be made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption, and shall receive the reward of unrighteousness, as they count it pleasure to ride in the daytime. Spots they are, and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you. And then I want to drop down to 18. For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that were clean escaped from them who live in error. While they'll promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption, for of whom a man is overcome, for the same he is brought in bondage. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome the latter and is worse with them than the beginning. And here's the key to this. The ones that know the Lord, heard the word, studied the word or whatever, and then this is what happens, that they turn back away from the Lord. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the Holy Communion delivered unto them. But it has happened unto them according to the true proverb. This is Proverbs 26:11. It says, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her own wallowing in the mire. So these people that have accepted the Lord, read the word, but then they turn away. And they do not want to follow after righteousness. They'd rather just follow unrighteousness again. Let's see. And they will receive their reward, the unrighteous. Because we know in Romans 6:23 it says the wages of sin is death. So I ask you, aren't you glad you have the life of Christ in you? And I got one more verse, if you just stick with me just one more time. I have a lot of them, but I want Titus 3:4-7. Starts out talking about, we ourselves also sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy and hateful and hating one another. But after that, the kindness and love of God, our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of the regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. So, don't turn away from the Lord. Don't turn away from the Word. I'm not telling you to read the Word all the time, every minute of the day, but you really have to, you really need to study as much as possible. I've been speaking on Wednesday nights, my turn, a month, and we all take our turns. And I tell you what, it's a blessing. It really is a blessing. At first, I wasn't too sure that, I don't know why I really did that, but I know now, and I've known for some time. So we would get into the Word, read it, enjoy it, let us fill us up with the Word of God. And you're a lot better place when you stay in the Word than you are without the Word. And everybody knows that here, so. Everybody says it here. Gordon says it too, that you need to stay in the Word. It is true. So, our time's up, so let's stand and